Welcome to Something Different from OU Torah, where we give you something different for your learning day. Recently, a woman contacted me, concerned that her practice has not been to do something that a different community considers imperative. I explained to her that not only is it logistically impossible to follow every minhag in the world, it's physically impossible, given that many minhagim actually contradict. For example, one can't both put on tefillin and not put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed. You have to pick one. With this in mind, and with Hanukkah imminent, let's listen to Rabbi Dr. Aaron Adler on the subject of conflicting Hanukkah customs.
The topic for today, conflicting Hanukkah customs, already tells you that, number one, there's much material about Hanukkah that relates to minhagim. On more than one occasion, we've spoken about two different types of minhagim, two different categories of customs. One is what I call the popular custom. Popular custom may not necessarily be anchored in a specific halakha, although Rabbi Rav Soloveitchik felt that even the popular minhagim can be rooted and anchored in some type of halakha. I'll just give you an example. Eating shulant is a minhag, is a custom. You don't have to eat shulant on Shabbat. If you didn't eat shulant yesterday, you still fulfill the mitzvah of Zochot Yom Shabbat HaKadosho. But the idea that there was a big, big fight between mainstream Rabbinic Judaism and the Karaites with regard to Lo Tivaru Eish B'chom Moshvotechem B'yom Shabbat, you're not allowed to have any fire burning on Shabbat in your home, and our Chachamim said you can have an illuminated fire, but there are ways, halakhically prescribed ways, that we can have warm food. So the eating of the warm food on Shabbos morning was basically a step, it was a polemic step, a gastronomical polemic step against the Karaites. So it had basis, or perhaps what the Rav quoted his great-grandfather, his namesake, Rav Yosef Dovber Soloveitchik, the Rav of Brisk, and before that, the Rosh Hashiva of Alojin, that the eating of gefilte fish is to prevent the problem of borer, of separating the bones from the fish, from the carp fish, and so on. So here we made it into what we call gefilte fish, and we alleviated that problem of the borer. So, whether that's the source of the gefilte fish or it's simply the great-grandmother's recipe and nothing more than that, today it became somewhat of a Jewish food. And a Jewish food is, according to some, even have some far-fetched basis in the Torah Yisrael. So that's one type of minhag. With regard to Hanukkah, so the eating of latkes, the eating of sufganiyot, are clearly reminiscent of the oil, and therefore you eat oily things. And I use the kibbutz by saying that how many jars of oil do you need to prepare a batch of sufganiyot? You need one jar of oil to prepare the whole batch, except when you squeeze the sufganiya, usually about eight cups of oil come out. And because it's a very, very oily type of food. But so that's all it is. There's nothing more than that. It's just to remember something about oil. But, again, if you're watching your diet and you're not eating sufganiyot on Hanukkah, you have a complete fulfillment of Hanukkah as long as you're lighting the candles and reciting Al Anisim in the appropriate places and saying Hallel 8 days in a row. So those are the bare bones halakha of Hanukkah. But and as in other areas of halakha, there are halachic minhagim, and halachic minhag means that there may be difference of opinion within the world of halacha, and some communities do it this way, and some communities do it that way, and that becomes an issue of halacha. And there's in the fourth parak of Masechet Psachim, which the Daf Yomi people are going to get to, not into distant future, Mokom Shenagu, what happens if a person moves from one zone, one country, one city that has one minhag, and they go to another country and or another city or another neighborhood even that has a different minhag, a completely different minhag. Do you adopt the new minhag or not? That's a speech about how we conduct ourselves with regard to the world of halakhic minhagim. And so too, with regard to Hanukkah, we have a whole slew of halakhic customs, which sometimes are in conflict with one another because there are differences of opinion. So we're just going to take it from the top. Days of Chazal, there was this famous machloket that we all know about, except that it's been decided in one direction, and that's the dispute between the Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. How do we fulfill the Nerot Chanukah with the eight candles? Do we begin with eight candles on day one and work our way down to one candle? This is the view of Beit Shammai, Pochet V'Holech, descending order. Or do we begin, as we do, according to Beit Hillel, with one candle and work our way up to eight candles, Mosif V'Holech? That machloket, that dispute is ready, anchored in the Gemara, and it's been decided finally. I'm not familiar with any community that lights candles in accordance to Beit Shammai. But just to throw out the idea that just because it's Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, you don't automatically know that everybody holds like Beit Hillel and conducts himself according to Beit Hillel. If you take the machloket in the dispute in the eighth chapter of Masechet Brachot in the Mishnah, machloket dispute between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel as to what you do first Friday night with regard to washing your hands for lechem, for chalot, and kiddush, what comes first? So in many, I would say most Jewish communities, kiddush is made, and after kiddush, they go to the basin or the sink and they wash hands for Netilat Yadayim. But those are familiar with the Minig of Frankfurt, Germany, and it spread through various communities in Germany and carries over for those who are descendants of Minig of Frankfurt. Washing of hands was done before Kiddush. And then after Kiddush, they went immediately into Hamotzi Lechem and Aretz. So that's Machloket Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, where the Frankfurt Jewish community, for a variety of reasons, adopted the view of Beit Shammai. I'm not going to get into that now. I'm just using it as an illustration that just because it's a Machloket between Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, you cannot automatically assume that everybody is holding in accordance to Beit Hillel. There are exceptions to the rule, but with regard to the lighting of Hanukkah candles, it's across the board that everybody holds like Beit Hillel. But in the days of our Chachamim, clearly it was a machloket, because those of the yeshiva in Yavne, I'm not talking about Keren B'Yavne of modern days, I'm talking about the Yavne yeshiva of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai after the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai himself is the Beit Hillel, the school of Hillel, and many of his Talmidim, up until Rabbi Akiva, for sure is the Beit Hillel. And then you have the Beit Shammai people, who is Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol and others. So you do have this split in Yavne between the Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. And those who held like Beit Hillel conducted themselves like Beit Hillel. Those like Beit Shammai conducted like Beit Shammai. So you can assume that in the days of the early days of observance of Hanukkah after the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash, some people lit candles in descending order like Beit Shammai. So there was some type of a clash between those customs. But for all practical purposes, that is already a moot issue because the halakha is like Beit Hillel and everybody conducts themselves accordingly.
Like what you just heard? Hear the rest of that shiur and much more on OUTorah.org or by using the OU Torah app for iOS and Android.